And you can do better than that. God has been good to us. He showed us this morning what he can and what he will do if you just call upon his name.
Glory, glory.
Hallelujah. Somebody said he was an awesome God. He's a good God. He's a merciful God. He's a kind God. He's a loving God. There is not enough adjectives to describe our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And we need to be more vocal for Almighty God.
Amen.
This afternoon, you probably won't be able to hear anybody talk when the Super Bowl going on. Because there's going to be so much noise going on, so many cheers going on. How many times this morning did you cheer for the Lord?
Yes,
sir. Amen. 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 Good afternoon. And I stand before you this morning humble. And I thank God for all the things that he's done for me, that he's doing for me, and the things that he has stored up for me.
Amen.
I thank him. And I thank our pastor, Reverend Horsley, for seeing something in me to give me the opportunity to stand where he stands every Sunday. And I said, thank you, Reverend Horsley, from the bottom of my heart. I thank my sisters in Christ. I thank my church family. And don't forget, prayers doesn't stop.
Right.
Even if I'm bringing the word, you can still pray.
Amen.
You can go ahead and pray that those angels go with that rescue squad that they're already waiting for when she get there.
Right.
We're going to pray right now that whoever meet and greet her know the Lord.
Amen.
That they know who Christ is.
Right.
And we're going to count it all done. We're going to count it that everything is all right.
Amen.
Because he said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. And I'm going to stand on that promise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I also would like to thank my husband for singing that song. And all morning he's been reminding me, don't you forget that, don't you forget that, don't forget that. Do you have that? Did you pick up that? What you do with that? Even when we coming on the yard, he was saying, you sure you got everything? I said, got everything. But lo and behold, I got to come and forget my Bible. I had to come up here and tell him, look, Garland, can you go to the car and get my Bible? And he just gave me that look like, really? And you know what I did? I just gave him that smile, and he just melted away. He went out there to cry and got that word. To God be the glory. All the glory. I won't be before you long. I'm going to do what thus said the Lord, and then I'm going to take my seat. If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to come from Psalms 51. Psalms 51. And later on in my message, you will see how God confirms what he gives you to bring forth to his people. And later on in this sermon. And it reads like this. I'm going to read verse 1 through 4 first. And then I'm going to go down to 7, 8, 9, and 10. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou might be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judge. 7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and kindness, gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thou face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, God, and renew a right spirit within me. Father God, in your precious Son, Jesus' name, I come this morning, Lord God, humbling myself before the throne. Father God, I ask you to remove me out of the way, Lord God, that I, and hide me behind your cross, that I may do your will and to do your work. Father God, I ask you to anoint me from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. Lord, I ask you to help me to pour out to listening ears and open hearts what thou hast given to me to speak before your people on today. Give me boldness, clarity. Lord God, I can stand flat foot and preach what you would have me to say. And Lord God, when I finish and take my seat, you would say, job well done, my good and faithful servant. Just over 30 days ago, just before the strike of midnight, taking us from 2017 over to 2018, some of us were making New Year resolutions. Some of us were declaring that we would lose 20 pounds. That's the same pounds that we had last year. You were going to get your finances in order. And you're now in more debt than you were at the beginning of last year. You will be more committed to your family, your church, and your community. You will change your attitude. Some of you declared, I will not play the lottery anymore. But some of you right now probably got a scratch off in your pocket. You will tithe more. You declare that this year you will find a husband or a wife. But did anyone at the end of 2017, before you start making resolution, stand before your mirror and really look at the person, looking back and examine your life? Did you take an assessment, an evaluation, really check yourself, realizing that there is some work still to be done? At the time that you make a plea to God in 2018, God, I just want you to fix my life. God, please fix my life. I'm not talking about Reverend Phillips over here. I'm not talking about my pastor. I'm not talking about my sister in Christ. But I'm saying, God, fix my life. This morning, as I declare the word of God, let's make this personal. I want you to say quietly to yourself right now, God, if there's anything not pleasing that I'm doing, God, fix my life. Who is this God that you're asking to fix your life? He's the creator. He's the one that took nothing and made something. He's the one that sits high and looks low. He's the one that spoke and everything became reality. He's the one that set the sun in the sky to be light by day and set the moon in the sky to be light by night. And then he decided to just decorate it just right by placing a few million stars in the sky. He's the one that made two of every kind, the one that said, I will make man in my own image, the one that blew into man's nostril. And he became a living soul. He's the one that said man should not be alone, and he created woman. The one that stepped back and said, it is good. Let's make it personal. He's the one that woke you up this morning. He's the one that breathed the breath of life into you this morning. He's the one that have looked beyond your faults and saw all of your needs. He is your healer. He is your doctor. He is your lawyer. He is the one that said, I love you so much that I'm going to give you the best thing that I've got, and that's my only begotten son. Well, what do you want this God to do? I want him to fix this image in this mirror. This human being, this soul, this broken vessel. I want him to put me back on the potter's wheel, and I want him to mend, mold, and shape this broken vessel into what he would have me to be so I can fulfill my purpose. Make me like an oak tree. See, when the wind blow and the rain comes, I can stand and not bend, and I surely won't break. God, fix my life. Someone sitting here this morning saying, I don't need fixing. I don't have any problems. I don't have any flaws. My life is fine. I hate to burst your bubble. But 1 John 1:8 tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Come short. That means you haven't made it yet. Come short of the glory of God. You see, sometimes we are so busy pointing out others' flaws, shortcomings, their faults, trying to fix someone else's life by giving advice. And most of the time, the advice that you give, you don't even take it yourself. You see, you can't tell somebody how to clean their house, work their job, and raise their children when your house is tore up from the floor up and you don't even have a job and your children are worse than Bebe's kids. See, you can't tell someone you need to stop hanging out all night when you yourself just make it in before daybreak. You can't tell somebody that they need to stop drinking when behind closed door you drink more than an elephant can hold. So you can't tell me to leave cigarettes and marijuana and cocaine alone when they done gave you the nickname of Puff Puff the Magic Dragon. You can't tell me to leave that man or that woman alone because you are breaking up that family when you are slipping and sliding, peeping and hiding, ducking and dodging yourself. The word tells us to remove the beam out of your eye. Then you can see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye. God, fix my life. You see, it's equally important to look at your own life. So you need to do a self-assessment. See, when you do this, you come to a place of self-realization. When you do this, you are honest about your strength. You're honest about your weakness. You come to know your upside and your downside. You see, you put yourself in a position to appreciate the grace and mercy of God. When you think that all is well and nothing needs fixing, you're living in denial. For we all have some stuff, from the choir to the pulpit to the door and all in between. See, we are pretending that all is well because we have perfected the art of holiness, quoting all the right scriptures. We have learned to sit the part, stand the part, speak the part, and look the part. See, when you take a real look, you will find that we have some private struggles, that we are afraid to address these problems. See, it's easier to pretend that all is well than to admit our flaws. Because when you stand before a man, we want them to see this image of greatness, this image of perfection. But the reality of who I am is on the inside of me. See, man looks at the outside, but God looks at the outside. Can you imagine if God looked at all the stuff that you are really struggling with and flipped it to the outside, you will see some pretty ugly people. How do I get my inside to line up with my outside? God, fix my life. Sometimes these things keep you from your destiny that God has for you. See, we don't want to deal with these things because what it might cost us. See, there is a show on TV called Ivana Fix My Life. But there comes a time in life that some of the stuff that we are facing, people can't fix. See, when you find yourself in these predicaments, it's time to take off the camouflage. As my sister said one time, it's time to take off the mask and fall down on your knees and look to heaven and tell God, I want to be honest. I'm taking off this mask. I'm taking off this camouflage. I want to be real. See, I got some issues. I got some problems. I got some stuff that I need to deal with. I'm tired of going through life acting like I got it all together. I don't care what I have to rearrange, whatever it takes, whatever I have to deal with, whoever I need to disconnect myself from, whatever I got to let go, I want this year, 2018, to be the year that God work on me, mold me, shape me, make me to appreciate all that his son did for me. God, fix my life. As we look back at the scripture that I read this morning, we see the reason that David wrote this psalm. You see, David had committed a sin. He had sinned with Bathsheba. He had sinned against Uriah, which was Bathsheba's husband. And he had sinned against God. See, a sin that he tried to cover up by putting Uriah on the front line in battle. Sometimes we do things to bring things upon ourselves, and then we try to blame someone else. I drink, I cuss, I fight, because my granddaddy was a drinker, a fighter, and a cusser. If I had not listened to you, I wouldn't be in this mess, but you had a choice. See, David had done an unrepented sin. See, when you have an unrepented sin, you have to keep covering it up. One thing after another, you got to cover it up. Because, see, somebody may have seen or heard what you did, so you got to cover it up. That's why he put Uriah on the front line, and it caused David to live in dismay. David found out that your sins will find you out. David came faced with this when God sent Nathan, the prophet. Upon Nathan's arrival, he started telling David about a situation. Now, when you get home, I can get a chance, read 2 Samuel, start at the 12th chapter, first verse, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Once Nathan finished, David had gotten so angry. See, that's what happened when someone tell you the truth. You have the tendency to get mad. Nathan had told him about the story, and David got so angry about the story that he said out of his own mouth, "The man who did this must die. Be careful what you speak. Be careful what you speak." So you can fool man some of the time, but you can't fool God none of the time. Nathan, upon listening to David declare his anger, Nathan looked at him and said, "David, you are that man." It's funny when you come faced with the truth that you have a change of heart right away. Because David recognized that God knew his sin and that he needed God to just fix his life. For he called upon God and said, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to your tender mercies. God, I need you to just fix my life right now. I've messed up. I've sinned. And I'm sorry. I need you to blot out my transgression. I need you to purge me, wash me from my iniquities, and cleanse me from sin, and I shall be cleansed." Then David said, "God created me a clean heart. For God, if you help me with my heart issues, this will help me with my habit issues." David knew that the only way this would happen, he had to acknowledge his problems. His habits, his shortcomings, he had to come clean before God. I'm here to tell you that you do not have to live in sin, church. For the Bible tells us in 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Turn that thing over to God. Tell God, "I'm done. I'm done with it. I'm not just saying I'm sorry, but I'm done with those things that have kept me from my purpose." Do you know what God will do? God will clean you up, raise you up, pick you up out of that muck and that mire, and when he finished cleaning you up, you won't see any residue at all. God will forgive you as if you never done it, and deliverance is available to those who ask. You have not because you ask not. I know he can and he will fix my life so I can have life and have it more abundantly. I know this because he started work on this over 2,000 years ago. As I prepare to take my seat, I'm going to share a story with you. to let you know just how I know that I know that I know what I know. See, there was a meeting going on in heaven concerning us today between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God said, and this is confirmation of what happened this morning. God said on February the 4th, 2018, in a place called Ronald Salem Missionary Baptist Church, my children are going to need my help, and they're going to give me what I need. They're going to pray unto me this morning. God is a good God. Good God. He said, I got to do something. I have a plan, and I'm calling it my plan of salvation. I need to put it in place now so in 2018 it will still be available. I need to send someone, not something, but someone. See, I promise I can't send a flood again because I made a promise that I would never destroy the earth by water. And every time you see that rainbow in that sky, it reminds you of my promise. I need someone to put in place this thing, because I don't want to lose any of my children. See, I have a plan. But I can't send Moses back because he just might kill somebody. I can't send Jonah back because Jonah is a runner. I can't send Jeremiah back because he might just start weeping. I can't send Noah back because he just might get drunk. I got to send somebody. Sitting over on the other side was God, the Holy Spirit. He said, send me. I'll go. But God said, God the Father said, no, I'm going to need you later in my plan. And God looked over at his son, at God the Son. He said, son, I love you, but I need to send you. I need somebody to stand in the gap. I'm going to tell you everything that's going to happen. This journey would not be easy. You will have men seek to kill you from the cradle to the grave. They will betray you. They will deny you. See, I can't send you back like you are. I need to send you back in the form of a baby. Gabriel, my heavenly angel, come here. I need you to go on down to this town. I need you to find this virgin named Mary and let her know, fear not, for she has found favor. He looked over, he saw another heavenly angel. He said, come here. I need you to go down and find her fiance, Joseph, and tell him in a dream to stand by Mary, for what she is carrying is a holy thing. Man has nothing to do with this. Son, the time will come that you will heal the sick, raise the dead. You give sight to the blind, lame will walk. You will teach and miracles will be done. You will be falsely accused. You will be taken before men and judged and sentenced to be crucified. And some of those same ones that's going to be yelling, crucify, crucify, is the ones that you have healed. You're going to carry a cross. That cross is going to be heavy with sins, and not one of them are yours. They're going to lay you down, and they're going to nail you to a cross. They're going to put nails in your hands and nails in your feet. But they're going to make a mistake. Because see, when they get ready to drop that cross in the hole, you're going to remind them, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And there will be times, son, when you think that I've forsaken you, but I want you to hang in there. I know you are the right one because you asked them from the cross. You talk to me from the cross, for you say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And when the time is right, you're going to give up the ghost and say, it's finished. I want you to know, son, when that happens, the veil will be torn from the top to the bottom. And now, Ronald Salem Baptist Church, you will have the access to me, but it will be through my son, Jesus Christ. All right. Son. They're going to pierce you in your side, and blood and water is going to run down your body. But they will put you in a borrowed tomb and think that it's all over. But I'm here to tell you that while they are sleeping, you're going to still be working on their behalf. Because see, I want you to go on down to hell. I want you to take the keys from Satan, the sting out of death, and take the holding power from the grave. And I declare, son, that before the S-U-N come up, the S-O-N have already gotten up. God the Father didn't allow him to get up empty-handed, for he said, you're going to get up with all power in your hand. Not some power, but all power in your hands. Now, Holy Spirit, your work will start. You see why my beloved son is coming up to take his rightful place. You're going to be going down to be a comforter to the world. When their hearts and mind go astray, you'll be there to remind them just what my son has done. God, fix my life. I'm here to tell you that when God fixes your life, don't you worry about your enemies. Don't worry about their haters and their no-sayers. Because he said, I will make your enemies your footstool, and no weapon formed against you shall prosper. See, you'll be like Paul when the viper came out of the fire and bit him. He shook it off and threw him back in the fire where he came from. When the enemy comes for harm, God will turn it into a blessing for you. See, when God fixed your life, you'll be the head and not the tail. When God fix your life, you'll be the lender and not the borrower. When God fix your life, you'll be able to do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthened you. When God raise you up, no man can bring you down. When God fix your life, you don't mind being a servant of God. And go ye there and tell everybody about the man that died for you. When God fix your life, I'm here to tell you that weeping, crying, oh Lord, them long nights. I'm here to tell you that weeping may endure for a night, but joy, unspeakable joy, if we could come in the morning. Don't worry about it. See, God got your back. That's the good thing. He will fix your life.
Ah, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. If God has already fixed your life, say, thank you, Lord. If you want God to fix your life, say, thank you, Lord. If you tell him the truth and you know God's still working on you, say, thank you, Lord. Because he promised to never leave us nor forsake us. Let's give the Lord a hand for his woman servant and for this powerful, timely word on this morning.